Good evening, everybody. I'm an alcoholic and a member of the Wednesday night study group. My name is Joe. Good to be here. And we were sitting there and they were reading how it works. I looked over and noticed that James wasn't sitting in a seat, and I said, "Well, he's probably back there policing the texting." Did you catch anybody? Stand up? No. Hopefully, the last couple of weeks I covered 6 and 7, and as it was presented to me and as I've come to understand it in these books, and, the decision that we make back in step 3 calls for affirmative action. Anytime we make a decision, in and of itself, just the nature of a decision that we decide to do something calls for affirmative action. It means we must do something in order to validate the decision, right? Or it's just simply an intention. And you know what? I was full of intentions. Before I got here, everybody was judging me by my intentions. I was a do-nothing. I was lazy, irresponsible. People couldn't count on me. They couldn't trust me. My word meant nothing. I had zero integrity. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know what integrity meant. So I couldn't come into Alcoholics Anonymous and get undrunk and undrugged and expect to stay that way and have a different life, to have something different happen. If I stayed the same would happen. People would view me the same, and they'd be correct. And I would remain restless, irritable, discontent, because I did nothing to correct the internal condition, to transform the internal condition with the help of God. And the only thing I'd be able to do is sense the ease and comfort that comes in a split second by taking a drink or a drug. So I would stay in that vicious routine, as I did for 16 years. So when we make the decision in step 3, it calls for affirmative action. As a matter of fact, it says in the book that the rest of the whole AA program will rest upon how well we decide to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood Him. See, none of us got to really figure that out. Thank God I didn't have to figure that out, because I would have been at a complete loss. I would have been at a complete loss to try and assume that I knew what they meant by deciding to turn my will, which is my thoughts, and my life, which is my actions, over to the care of God as I understood Him. I had never really done that before. I thought I did that when I went to church as a kid. But I was thinking about the playground and softball and, the girls and everything else when I was sitting in church. I never was thinking about turning my will and my life, my thoughts and my actions over to His care, to partnering with Him, to seeking a relationship with Him that would have me become a man trying to grow in the image and likeness of Him. To try and be a friend amongst friends, and not a gamer, and not a con man, not a thief, not a liar. To become a brother for my sisters and my brother. A true brother, that had their best interests in mind. A true son. An uncle. An uncle that could be counted on. An uncle that they didn't see time after time and time after time abandoning them by disappearing. See, when we disappear, we abandon. That's how kids take it. That's how I took it. When you disappear on me after promise after promise after promise, and you don't show up, or you disappear off the grid for months on end, that's abandonment. There are natures of wrongs that I never ever considered looking at, that I never thought I hurt people by. The way I was showing up, the things that I was doing, my attitude, my demeanor, the way I carried myself, the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the egotistic nightmare, the prideful, maniacal guy that I had become. I never considered that that walk was affecting people and creating collateral damage in my life. That it was affecting people's emotional stability around me. It was affecting my relationship with them. Just who I was being. Just in my walk of addiction to alcohol and other things, I hurt them terribly. And you know what? I never considered, when I got to the steps of 8 and 9, that I had to look at that stuff. I thought it was just about, well, I stole from you, and I stole from you, and 1,000 other people that I stole from. But I never considered that I stole their time. I never considered that I stole their emotional peace. I never considered that I traumatized them by abandonment and being drunk all the time and showing up in a stupor and embarrassing the whole family. I never considered that I embarrassed them terribly in the light of my family unit to society, to their circle of friends. The disappointment, the constant agonizing confrontations of their friends coming up and asking them how Joe was doing. How's Joe doing? And perhaps having them to have to lie when I might have been incarcerated at that time. They didn't ask for that. They didn't deserve that. So my hurts went deep. My emotional scars went so deep. And you know, every one of us can remember exactly who hurt us if it was deep. We don't forget. We may forgive, but we don't forget. There are things that are burned indelibly into our brain and into our mind that we remember forever. So here we are. We talked about for the last 2 weeks about 6 and 7. You know, once we uncover who we had become, who you got when I showed up on the scene, when I did my fourth and fifth step, that guy, the guy that I had become, the sum total of my philosophy, my understanding, my perception, interpretation, and all the things that drove me, that's who you got. It was time for that man to die. Because guess what? We're setting this whole thing up so that when I attempt to restore my relationships with human beings, that they'll see somebody different. You and I both know, all of us know, that when somebody does something to harm us, whether it be to cheat or create distrust or emotionally harm or offend or ridicule or embarrass or anything like that, we know. If you've ever had somebody come up and make amends to you, to try and set the relationship right, to reestablish good relationships with people, if they come up to you and you get the same individual that they had always been, and it was just a simple, I'm sorry, you know it. And nothing happens. There is no amends. That person may attempt to give something, but it's from the same person that committed the offense. How can you make amends being the same person that committed the harm? That doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work for me, and I would imagine it doesn't work for you. So if we're the same individual going up and saying I'm sorry without any attempt to become someone different, then you're going to have a bad going of things. And you probably won't get the promises that they're talking about. So that's why I spent the last couple weeks talking about 6 and 7. Listen, this thing's not easy. It's hard. It's hard to become truthful. It's hard to be truthful with the fear that somebody might reject you. It's hard to become truthful when you feel that other people may not look at you in the same light. But when you consider it's life and death, that should be in and of itself enough answer for anybody. We have got to embark on this character building. That's what it tells us in the book. I never thought the A step was like really as in depth as I did, as I do now. After studying it, and I haven't been doing this thing for a long time. You know what I mean? I'm not even sober nearly as long as some of the champions that Rachel and James have come and speak here, and Anthony and whoever else is in this home group. But I have been a student. I have been studying this thing for a long time. For, you know, all 11 years that I've been sober. Almost 11, next month. And I have been digging and digging and digging. And no matter how far I think I progress, there's always things within me that I absolutely know will oppose the grace of God. That I know without a doubt, it hurts them. I know it. These instincts, these desires that we talked about in 4 and 5, and really got clear about it. You know, what was I always after? How was I always looking to be satisfied? What was I always looking for to complete me, to fulfill me? And it was always one of those 5 things. Either it was personal security, emotional security, sexual security, financial security, or my ambitions. You know, it was always one of those things, and I was always looking to oversatisfy or get more than my fair share. And I stepped on the toes of my fellows, and they retaliated. I want to read this to you because every time I read this, I see something different. We were in a 12-step meeting yesterday morning. And as a matter of fact, the big book study that I go to at 6:30 in the morning is really right focused on what we're doing right here, right now, on 8 and 9. And, 11 years after they wrote the big book, you notice in the big book it says on step 8, it's a very small piece. It says, after we have completed our 7-step prayer, it says, now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Okay? To have faith that I'm going to be able to stay sober, live to good purpose, enjoy a relationship with God, a good relationship with my fellows, to remain free, to have that faith without doing anything about it is dead. Faith without works simply means I need to have more action. Okay? It says, let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed, and to whom we are willing to make amends. Really? That goes against what a lot of people think. It says we have a list. It doesn't say we made a list. It says we have a list. For a long time, I didn't see that word have. I always thought it meant made. Now, why would I think it meant made? I don't. You know what I mean? That's my thinking for you. It says we have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. It says we made it when we took inventory. So they're referring me back to the original list that I made when I took inventory. Remember that resentment list, that harms list, the sexual harms list? Okay? It says we subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. It says in the end of that 4-step in the book, that if we have made a list of our grosser handicaps, and notice it didn't say assets, we can talk about assets with our sponsor to lighten the mood. But on our list, we talk about our grosser handicaps, the defects of character, the shortcomings, the liabilities. Okay? It says, we subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. That was what they say was a good beginning. So we begin with that list. It says, now we go out, now that we're in 8 and 9, now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which is accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. So we have our list. We have, you know, there may be things we need to add to that list. There may be a little bit of a gap in time. Shouldn't be much of one. But there should be, there might be a little bit of a gap in time between the time that we did our 5th step and the time we get to our 8th step. Very short, but there might be. There might be names that we remember that just come to our mind. There might be new offenses that need to go on that list, right? But it says this. It says, first we take a look backward and try to discover where we have been at fault. Okay, we go back to our 4-step. We reflect on that. It says, next, we make a vigorous attempt to repair the damage we have done. And third, having thus cleaned away the debris of the past, we consider how, with our newfound knowledge of ourselves, we may develop the best possible relations with every human being. They talk about these relationships with human beings. We come in here very, very alone. You know, we come in here completely isolated from humanity, most of us. Yes, there are people that love us, and there are family members and people that perhaps, you know, want us to do well and are always in our corner and have been there through the thick and thin. But in our hearts, in our heart of hearts, inside, we feel alienated from them. We feel separated from them. We feel unworthy of them. You know what I'm saying? It's a devastating feeling. It's a rock bottom feeling. It says in the A step about these relationships, it says, first we take a look backward and try to discover where we've been at fault. Next, we make a vigorous attempt to repair the damage we have done. And third, having thus cleaned away the debris of the past, we consider how our newfound knowledge of ourselves, right, we may develop the best possible relations with every human being we know. It says it's a task that we may perform with increasing skill but never really finish. It says every AA has found that he can make little headway in this new adventure of living until he first backtracks and really makes an accurate and unsparing survey of the human wreckage left in his wake. So it says we've already done this when we took moral inventory, truthful inventory. It says this, but listen carefully. It says, but now the time has come when he or she ought to redouble their efforts to see how many people he has hurt or she has hurt and in what ways. So they're asking us to go back and reflect. We do this with the help of our sponsor. Okay? We want to make sure that we are entirely ready, that we're completely willing to set right these wrongs. But we have to know what wrongs we're looking at. We've had a little growth in the process. We've seen the ways we've hurt each other. We've hurt people. It's time to look a little bit deeper. So that when we go in, we're leading with the heart and not our mind. It says, while the purpose of making restitution to others is paramount, and that's pretty important. It's very important. Matter of fact, it's essential. It's critical. It's indispensable. While the purpose of making restitution to others is paramount, it is equally necessary that we extricate from an examination of our personal relations every bit of information about ourselves and our fundamental difficulties that we can. Since defective relationships with other human beings... This is like key. Since defective relations with other human beings have nearly always been the immediate cause of our woes, including our alcoholism, no field of investigation could yield more satisfying and valuable rewards than this one. Calm, thoughtful reflection upon personal relations can deepen our insight. We can go far beyond those things which were superficially wrong with us to see those flaws which were basic. Flaws which sometimes were responsible for the whole pattern of our lives. Thoroughness, we have found, will pay and pay handsomely. And then they have a definition of the word harm. And it says we might call it the result of instincts in collision. Remember, we talked about that. In order to have my instincts met, I got to go through you. And my character defects are the methods and the tools that I use to get what I want. Inconsideration, dishonesty, fear, selfishness, envy, greed, sloth, pride, ego, lust, gluttony, and the like. Okay? They say that as we do this thing, we start to get the end, we start to come to this end of isolation from our fellows and God. We're ready. We're ready to make amends. Our heart is ready. Now, in the spirit of becoming entirely ready to make amends, to make these amends, we are going to establish brotherly love. We're going to you know, the people talk about the principles and the principles behind the steps. The steps are the principles. You know, as we work the steps, we incorporate these spiritual principles as byproducts into our life. Remember, we talked about the Constitution, this set of rules or principles by which a man or woman governs their life. Well, we had selfish and self-centered principles. All the defects of character were parts of our Constitution. As we start to move away from those, we've got to incorporate new ones. We've got to have something fill the void. We've got to recreate or establish a new constitution by which we live. And as you do the first step, you start to incorporate honesty in your life. As you come and go through the second step and realize that no human power could relieve you of your alcoholism, that only God could and would have if he were sought, establishes hope in your life. Step three, turning your will and your life over to the care of God, establishes faith through that process. Courage, perseverance, discipline, brotherly love. So this is how this thing works. As we do the steps, we become the steps. You follow me? Once we do step, once we get make that decision to start seeking this power, we literally incorporate in our new philosophy of life, our way of being, inventory, self-inspection, self-introspection, looking inside ourselves. Seeing where we're at. Talking to other people. Getting outside counsel. Very important. Make sure I'm thinking, you know, that my thinking is like on the right, on the beam, so to speak. Okay? We commit to change, which is what six is. We ask God for help, which is what seven is. And then we become ready to make amends wherever necessary. Because there will always be things that we do say and think that oppose the grace of God and hurt other people. And we become automatic at it. It becomes our constitution. They say if I'm incorporating these things into my new way of being, my new way of living, in my new way of thinking, that I will get on this thing called the spiritual being, that I'll be safe and protected, that the problem will be removed, that I will be free. So, The A step is really important. I will tell you that 9 calls for some things that you may want to get your sponsor involved with. I'll tell you the first thing right off the bat. I mean, it says right here in the 12 and 12. And for those of you that are new, that one individual that is here for the very first time, first AA meeting, I don't know if you're an alcoholic or not, but I'm glad you're here. But step 9 says, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, not whenever. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And I need to know what that means. I don't go at this blind. I don't go at this without counsel. I don't attempt to do this alone. Okay? It is critical that you have a sponsor that is versed in this program, this process, that has incorporated these things into their life, that can lead you and guide you to make effective amends. Because it could turn out very badly for you. As a matter of fact, it could turn out so badly for you that you end up drinking over it. And for us to drink is to die. That's what they say. Many of us have. Many of them. But it says this. I love this. It says, good judgment, a careful sense of timing, courage and prudence. These are the qualities we shall need when we take step 9. It doesn't say you should have them. It doesn't say you might want to think about having them. It doesn't say you can have half of them either. It says these are the qualities we shall need when we take step 9. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I was doing step 9 probably after 3 or 4 months, somewhere in that neighborhood. My sponsor didn't delay. I mean, we went according to the timeline in the book. And I can tell you, after 120 days or 150 days, I really hadn't developed that good judgment thing. You know what I mean? I didn't have it. I had judgment. But it was a lot about you. It wasn't about me. I had uncovered some stuff, but I didn't have good judgment yet, so I needed my sponsor for that. A careful sense of timing. I never had a good sense of timing. I was a reactor, and most of the time it was nuclear. You know what I'm saying? I hurt a lot of people. Courage? I'd never taken a risk in my life. I always wandered around in a comfort zone, in the herd, being comfortable, safe. You know, I never took risks. I never stretched. I never did anything that might make me, from what I could see, was to be fearful or uncomfortable. So I needed that from my sponsor. And I needed prudence. I didn't even know what that... You know, I thought that had something to do with... I won't even go there. Prudence, you know. Prudence simply means wise in practical matters. I really needed my sponsor for this. Right? I needed him to guide me through every amends that I was going and going out on, so that I made sure I was going with the right motives, pure of heart, and making sure that I wasn't going in expecting, you know, a little bit of pound of my flesh back or an I'm sorry back, because that just doesn't work. If I'm going in with an amends to get an amends, it ain't going to work. If I'm going into an amends thinking with the attitude that I really don't care if you take it or not, I'm here to give it, I am still incredibly selfish and self-absorbed. For me to want to clear my conscience at your expense is wrong, ineffective, unproductive, won't work. Okay? Simple. You know, people have said they're sorry to you. They've said they're sorry to me. And man, I'm telling you, I could spot a gamer a mile away, because I was one. Master gamer. Master deceiver. All the cover stories. Now, in the ninth step in the 12 and 12, I'm going to get back to the big book, but there is some valuable information. You know, as far as a timing of certain amends. And it's on the first page, and I will tell you, it says, we have tried to possess ourselves of the right attitude in which to proceed. We've been doing that since we made a decision to seek this relationship with God. Okay? And the way we've been seeking this relationship with God is we've been trying to get right with ourselves and other human beings. We've been trying to clean out the wreckage that we've been harboring. You know, all the regret from the past, all the shame, all the embarrassment, all the bitterness, all the failure, all the disappointment. We've been trying to possess ourselves of the right attitude. If I'm still feeling all that, I ain't got a right attitude. I got an attitude, but it isn't the right kind. So all these things are so necessary and integral to really having an effective amends made. It says, we will see that the making of direct amends divides those we should approach into several classes or time frames. Okay? It says, there will be those who ought to be dealt with just as soon as we become reasonably confident that we can maintain our sobriety. That, to me, sounds like now. You know, if I feel reasonably confident that I can maintain my sobriety with those people that are on my list to make amends, those are the ones I go to now. Right? And then it says, there will be those to whom we can make only partial restitution, lest complete disclosures do them or others more harm than good. And I am not an other, by the way. An other is an other. An other doesn't mean me. It means others. Okay? So it says, there will be those to whom we can make only partial restitution, lest complete disclosure do them or others more harm than good. Those are the maybes. Okay? What I do when I reconfigure this list, you know, we have a harms to other list. And I can take four or five of those sheets, or four of those sheets, and on the top I can put the nows. I go to my four-step inventory, I reconfigure my list, I rediscover the exact nature of the wrong, I reflect on the exact nature of the wrong, and I get in the right spirit, in the right attitude of which to proceed. Then I have another list that has maybes. And I go down through those with my sponsor. And I categorize those as maybes, as to what it says here. It says, then there will be other cases where action ought to be deferred. Okay? There are cases where action ought to be deferred. And so those I would term later, as it says here. Later. Deferred means later, until another time. Okay? It says, and still others by which the very nature of the situation we shall never be able to make direct amends. We will never be able to make direct personal contact at all. Those would be never. Okay? So I have the nows, the maybes, the laters, and the nevers. And I have four sheets. There's my amends sheets. With my exact nature of the wrongs, the defects of character that I acted out on, any additional information that I can put on there which will hopefully heal the wound. See, I don't go in there looking just to feel clean. I want new relationship with that individual. I want a new relationship with humanity. I don't want to duck and juke and jive around every corner because there's still dirt out there. I remember I told you that when we go to make amends, you know, it's kind of like on the four-step inventory when we made that list of people that harmed us. You know, am I going to walk away from this amends feeling completely confident that I have done everything from my heart to let them know how terribly sorry and wrong I was? Whether they accepted or not, and they say in my case, it was like 9.8 accepted it. Very rarely did anybody like say, screw you, I don't want nothing to do with you. But I would have been okay in moving on with that. Because I know that I did everything possible to set right the wrong. Okay? If and when I see that human being again down the road, and I have an encounter with that human being, are there still going to be some things that need to be said? I don't want to have to go through that. I want to be free. If I don't make a full amends to somebody, if I don't tell them everything that's going on, they're still going to own me. I'm still going to think about it when I see them. I can go into a meeting and see them sitting across the room, and what am I thinking about? What are they thinking about? That's what I'm thinking about. What are they thinking about? You know how we are. We just make stuff up. And then we make up what they're thinking about. Then we feel more like a dirtbag. You know? I don't want to go through that. This is an opportunity to get completely clean. To get like where the ghosts and the demons don't hurt you anymore. Where the past has no power over you anymore. You speak to anybody that's worked a 12-step process and had the spiritual awakening that we're talking about, and they will tell you that the past can't hurt them anymore. There is no more dirt. There's no more concealment. I am who I am. I'm a child of God, and I belong here. And I value my relationships today. So now they talk about these specific things, specifically general things. There may be people in here that have none of this going on. I doubt it. Maybe you're a real alcoholic. But let's remember that we were willing to go to any length. That means unconditionally. I can't pick and choose my deal here. You know what I mean? I'm like now ready to go to any length for victory over alcohol. Okay. I still remember what it was like before I got here. Hopefully, none of us forget the pain that we were in when we got here, the terrible loneliness. It becomes our best asset to reach a new man or woman. Okay? So we're willing to go to any length for victory over alcohol, and willingness is the key. Am I willing? It says, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. It says, the question of how to approach the man or woman we hated will arise. Matter of fact, that'll probably be like foremost, like right there. You know what I mean? We'll be thinking about that individual, for lack of a better word. That's who's there. That's the first thing that we're thinking about. It says it may be that he has done us more harm than we've done him. Matter of fact, we're almost sure of that, aren't we? As we play that victim tape. We always make people out to have done us more harm than we did them. It justifies us resisting doing this in the first place. It says, and we're still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, this is the instruction, we take the bit in our teeth. I guess you could, that's short for bitterness in our teeth. It says it's harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him with a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. We tell him, we're not going to get over drinking unless I do this with you. You know, people that are resistant say, oh, they're there, never mind, don't worry, it's water under the bridge. Say, look, man, I may not get over drinking until I do this with you. Please give me the time. Please. It has to be done if you want to be free. You can do anything or not do anything you want as long as you're willing to pay the price. You don't have to go to any length for victory over alcohol and pay the price. Many of us have been paying that price for years. So then it says, and by the way, this just reaffirms what I was talking about before. It says, in 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we're calling upon admits his own fault. See, we don't have to like go in with a cover story or go in with an agenda or a motive to try and enlist him to give us an amends. To tell us that he's sorry or she's sorry. That will happen automatically if you go in with your heart with the right attitude to admit your faults. His or hers aren't discussed. But 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, you know what, man? I was a blankety blank too. I was an idiot too. You know, the way I had it, and I did da-da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, you're in a conversation like everything's out on the table and everything's getting flushed right out and done and gone. So that when you leave there, the relationship is clean. It's brand new. It doesn't even look like it used to look. There's no pretense, no game, no cover, no pretending, no facade, no masquerade. It's an authentic, intimate game because everything's out in the open. It's transparent. You know what I'm saying? It's authentic. This is where we move into that authentic way of being. We're able to go out from that relationship, and when we get back together with that person, we're me, I'm me, and he's him. And we love each other for whatever. You follow me? That's awesome. That's a gift. But who would have thunk that that was the way to do it? That was the way to have it. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we're doing and wish us well. Matter of fact, a lot of times they'll jump on the bad wing, and the people that we made amends to are some of our closest friends today and our closest allies. Intimate, authentic relationships without any of that crap. Now here it says, we could probably skip this, it says most alcoholics owe money. Better cover this one, huh? Especially for all you that just laughed. It says, we don't dodge our creditors. Tell them what we were trying to do. We make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway. It's an amazing. We didn't hide this from anybody. It says, nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory that it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay and no to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go. For, and there's a really good reason, for we're liable to drink if we don't. You know, they say that a lot about these amends things, that we're liable to drink if we don't. Besides being free, I'm going to tell you that it's not quite like it used to be back in the 30s and 40s, where you had a one-on-one relationship with your banker or loan person. Now they just send it right over to the credit. They sell your debt to God knows who, and you're dealing with the voice message system, and then you finally get a human being on the phone, and they say, well, you know, when can you pay? This is really important for you to have your sponsors at hand to coach you and guide you through. You know, I can tell you that no matter what your debt, it can be cleaned up effectively. And in time, you will be debt free. I'm telling you that from experience. I never ever thought. I've relapsed. I didn't relapse. I lapsed back into active alcoholism because I failed to do this part of my program 20 years ago. And my attitude was, they don't need the money. Do I want to be clean or don't I? I was one of those that drank because I didn't. Now, it also talks about, oh no, we don't talk. We don't need to go. This is talking about criminal offenses. No criminals in here. I've been locked up everywhere I've lived in this country. Everywhere. Everywhere. You know, I had to pull a background. And you know, I'm you know, when people were talking about that stuff, we get in little, you know, conversations about, you know, and yeah, I was in jail here and did this and that. And you know, I said, well, I probably, you know, got arrested for a couple of felonies and this and that. I had like 11 felonies. And my sheet was like 3 pages long. Misdemeanors, felonies, incarcerations, here and there and the other. There was more than I had, in, you know, remembered in my mind. It says, reminding ourselves about the criminal thing, about these things. It says, reminding ourselves that we had decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience. So now, Bill's changing the language. First he says we're willing to go to any length for victory over alcohol because we know if we drink we die, right? Now he's saying that we were going to go to any length to find a spiritual experience, right? The spiritual thing. He says we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing no matter what the personal consequences may be. Our prayer. He's telling us to pray about it. By this time, you should probably be praying about everything anyway. You know what I mean? It's like a constant conversation. All day long, every day. God this, God that, God this. You know? It's just what happens. It says, we may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be, we must not shrink in anything. There's a lot of people in AA that went back out the door because they were running from criminal stuff. Because they had a warrant of this and that and the other and they weren't willing to face it. And they were restless, irritable, discontent. And the only thing that killed that pain was booze. And that's what they did. Many of them are dead today. You know? So, then it says, we talk about, in conclusion with this thing, talks about these domestic issues. Domestic issues are anything within our family or circle of influence, our friends, under the home or family unit. Domestic. Our personal relationship with other people. And then it talks about this sexual thing, too, that we can really create some damage. Really, really, really bad damage. Matter of fact, damage so bad that we've ruined relationships forever. We've destroyed families and torn them apart because of this thing, right? It says, whatever the situation, we usually have to do something about it. But let's remember, accept when to do so would injure them or others. Okay? Refraining from that behavior would be the first amends. A lot of us start making amends the day we walk into AA. And we start staying sober. And give our families and our significant others and our friends peace of mind that we're not out killing ourselves. To where they can be emotionally calm by our getting sober. Imagine that. says, undoubtedly we submit our fault. We feel that we ought to say to her or him, we have no right to involve another person. We're sorry for what we've done, and God willing, it shall not be repeated. If that's going to involve their significant others and cause harm, perhaps, then by all means, we get counsel from our sponsors, our spiritual mentors. We cease that type of behavior, and we make amends in our own way. Our design for living is not a one-way street. It says to do a lot of prayer. It says the alcoholic's like a tornado, roaring his way through the lives of other people. Hearts are broken. Does that fit for you? Sweet relationships are dead. Does that fit for you? Affections have been uprooted. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. It says this. It says we feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. A remorseful mumbling that we're sorry will not fill the bill, as it never has before. You know what I'm saying? We got evidence to support that. It says, we feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. What do you mean? I stopped drinking. What do you mean you don't trust me? What do you mean you won't give me the keys to the house? What do you mean you won't let me sleep in the bedroom? We cut so deep, those internal wounds never clean up. They never heal. A remorseful mumbling and we're sorry won't fill the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it. Being very careful not to criticize them, even though their defects may be glaring. It says this, and I'm gonna make this quick because I know we're running out of time. It says the spiritual life is not a theory. It's not a cover story. It's not a masquerade. It's not a facade. It is your essence. It is who you are. It's what's on display. It says it's not a theory. We have to live it. Caution. We should not talk incessantly to them about spiritual matters. They will change in time. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness make a skeptic out of anybody. This whole process is an opportunity to go out and tell everybody about the God of your understanding, even these people, without uttering a word, without saying anything. They'll see it. They'll get you. It will land in their hearts if you're coming from the heart. And then, of course, the promises, if we're painstaking, we're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Brand new. Completely different. Something we've never experienced before. The past won't bother us anymore. It'll become our greatest asset. We won't have any problem talking to people about our past. How do we have depth and weight to reach a new alcoholic? Our past. Right? We won't regret the past. Just shut the door on it. Financial insecurity will leave us. We'll intuitively know how to handle situations that booze used to help us with. You know what I mean? We'll handle that stuff. Biggest thing here is that we suddenly realize that God's doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And I'm not going to say, are these da 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 da. Because I don't want to hear, we think not. Not tonight. Right? But it does say this, that they will always materialize if we work for them. Are we working for them? And faith without works is dead. So next week, step 10. Thank you.